You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Scott Lowe, portfolio manager and analyst at PSG Wealth, Old Oak in Cape Town. You can throw what you like at the market. You can bomb Iran with 30,000 ton bombs. Israel and Iran can be at war for 12 days. And you think, gosh, if I'd have just woken up and seen those headlines, I would have thought that the market would be down 10, 15%. No, not a bit of it. Very close to record highs, Skalk. The S&P, I think. Yeah.
It is. I mean, there was this joke going around, and I'm not a great joke teller, but did you see that thing about Trump now decided to build his first Lynx golf course there in Iran?
No, I didn't see that joke.
No. He apparently already finished the first three holes.
That's not bad.
I thought that could give a ba-doo-ba-dish. Yeah, so and still, like you mentioned, I mean, it's just he managed to literally a day or two later. Well, let's say within a day, call both, you know, Israel and Iran up and say, guys, that's it. We are now going to have a ceasefire and we're going to talk about peace. Hours after he literally bombed the hell out of Iran.
I know.
Yeah. And he got it over the line. I mean, okay. Firstly, I read yesterday morning when I read this announcement, and I did look at this and I was like, what? You're giving Iran 6 hours to continue their bombing and then they should start the ceasefire. Mm. And in the same moment, he gave Israel 12 hours. And I was like, oh boy, this is not going to end well. And I think they waited 8 minutes or something like that, 8 minutes before the deadline, Israel. And they just pumped a few more, you know, missiles into Iran, and that's okay, guys. That's it. We've got the ceasefire.
It's interesting that Netanyahu says we've finished our job. He didn't say anyway. He said we finished our job. Whether that was coordinated with Trump saying the ceasefire starts now because Israel had told him, okay, we've done enough, we've done all we can do, or whether Netanyahu said that just to save face because he's been bullied by Trump, I can't work out what it is. I think he's been bullied by Trump. And talking of Trump, he's just completed a press conference, which I watched in The Hague. You've never seen him so confident. I mean, he's been completely emboldened by the way that people have sucked up to him because they want him to carry on in NATO. They want the United States to carry on in NATO because they've got 3.5 years more of Trump, so they have to be nice to him. And as for Mark Rutte, I used to like Mark Rutte when he was the Prime Minister of the Netherlands. But to be so sycophantic and toady towards Trump, that private letter was only private for 5 minutes.
True.
I mean, that letter was ridiculous. I don't know. He's obviously the most powerful man in the world, Trump, and you have to be nice to him. But to write that stuff, and today he called him daddy. Did you hear that? Rutte called him daddy.
No, I didn't. But he must be the first president ever to in a formal press conference throw the F-bomb, and everybody would just applaud him. I don't think in history I've ever had any president, you know, let's call it U.S. president at least, you know, throw the F-bomb in a, you know, formal press conference.
He said that Israel, and he shouted just before he got on. It was the last comment he made before he walked onto Marine One, the helicopter, to fly off to St. Andrews Air Force Base. He says, Israel and Iran don't know what the F they're doing. It was, you can't edit that out because it's live, but CNN even played it again later on. It's the first time I've ever heard them play a serious profanity on air.
Exactly.
It was quite a moment.
I think it's a massive moment. I mean, I don't think there's enough made out of this, because I think if the likes of a President Ramaphosa or somebody, you know, some other president, you know, had those shenanigans, that would have been, I would have thought that would have been massive, massive, massive news. And he even turned around after he actually said that, like you said, he turned around and said, Did you get that?
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, but be that as it may,
never mind. The markets are going up because they think it's all over.
I love it.
Is it? We hope so, of course, because it's very destabilizing for the region, and that region is volatile enough without this going on. But I can't help think that it'll make itself known in other ways, whether it be low-level terrorism or something. I don't know, Scott. What's your opinion on this? All over?
It's over. It's over because Trump says it's over. Full stop.
So one person.
Well, I mean, I'm still waiting. I mean, I think he said when he went into office, he's gonna end the Russia-Ukraine war. What did he say? Was it 2 days?
24 hours.
That's it. You're 100% right. He said 24 hours. So we know he couldn't get that one over the line yet. But there's a small matter of a date called the 9th of July.
Yes. Oh, that's tariff day, isn't it?
That's tariff day. He actually paused the tariffs for 90 days, and I think he's going to have a massive problem if the whole world is sort of throwing bombs at each other, and he needs to make the big announcement. Either the U.S. are going to whack the rest of the world with massive tariffs. So I think he needs Iran and Israel to not just sit around the table, be quiet, sit there, eat your food, just be quiet. Let me just get this over the line, and then you guys can do whatever you want to do.
There's so many things that are up in the air. When he first came in, we had the Panama Canal, and we had Canada, and we had Greenland. All of these things, not a mention of them anymore. Not a mention. Whether he's got a team working on these imperialistic intentions, I don't know. But it's just, he goes from one thing to another. His thing at the moment, Skunk, and this is a personal opinion, is he wants to get the Nobel Peace Prize, so he'll do anything. He's claiming the India-Pakistan truce, and both India and Pakistan have said, well, India, haven't you? I said, no, nonsense. We spoke directly to Pakistan. It was nothing to do with Trump. He's claiming that. But he wants that, and he also wants his flagging poll numbers to be boosted because of what he's done to Iran. That's all it is. It's all personal. And anyone that says it's to make America great again are wrong. He doesn't care. He'd like to, but what he'd like to is make Trump great again. That's what he wants. Anyway, that's my little rant.
We need to because I've given specific instructions to keep this, you know, short and sweet.
Oh, really? Today. Who told you that? Your wife?
No, my wife. Yeah. No, naturally. So I mean, whenever you've got a country and your country, when you're a company. Your company is valued in something what they call the share price. And if your share price improve, then naturally you are doing well as a company, as management, as the CEO of a company. You're leading this company to heights. And that's why the share price is following and going upwards. Now, for a country, that share price is called a currency. And when I look at the share price of the USA, it's telling us Mr. Market is not really buying into the leadership currently.
Yes.
Because, I mean, if you get a scenario where inflation is fairly, you know, under control, and Powell's turn around and say, guys, I know I can, but we're not going to do this. I'm too worried about inflation, you know, going forward, all the tariffs and the effect that that's going to have. We've got wars. I mean, he's not in too much of a rush. I mean, he made it blatantly clear again yesterday. He's no major rush to decrease interest rate further for now. It's going to stay, you know, higher for longer. That usually, if it was any other country, their share price would have gone up because that effectively is telling you, wait a minute, that's nice. I take my money. It, from South Africa, my rands, go and convert it to the dollars, go and invest in the interest rate in the US because it's going to stay higher for longer. I'm going to get more bang for my buck. And that's made no difference. The share price or the dollar index, 97.5. I mean, today again, I mean, that is just showing you the confidence currently in the leadership in the US, confidence in the US itself and its debt levels. I think...
people taking large chunks of money out of the United States. So they have to take those dollars and sell them on the world's markets. And that's what it's doing. It's not, in your opinion, then the anticipation of interest rates soon to come down. Oh, goodness me, you should have heard what he said about Powell in the NATO press conference. You'll see it later on as you watch the highlights on television. He was horrible to him. He essentially said, I mean, he called him low IQ, he called him dumb, he called him stupid, all the usual things. This is the chairman of the Federal Reserve, a man he appointed. Come on now.
Yeah. That's it. The Federal Reserve chair, the chairman of the largest reserve bank in the world, central bank in the world. I mean, and you're calling him stupid. Oh, man. Anyway, I mean, we can go on. I think for now the market reacted, you know, positively. When I look at some of the short term traders, they suddenly became massively upbeat. I saw a trade. I can't remember the guy. It was one of the big traders. He had an open trade where he's shorting gold and going long the S&P 500.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I don't know.
He would have done well on shorting gold today, but that's briefly. Well, you don't agree with that trade?
I think I'm not a short-term trader. You know that. I've been in been long gold for many years, and I'm not planning to cut that position anytime soon. I mean, not what we just mentioned. So maybe it's somebody that's really really got a very very ultra short-term view. Just maybe looking at a few hours or days. I hope that's the case, because if they've got a longer term view, I don't agree with that call, not at all. I think the S&P 500 as it currently stands is grossly overvalued.
Mm-hmm.
Interest rates going to stay higher for longer, so that we know that the country itself has had a fall in the first quarter retraction in the economic growth. We're waiting for the second quarter. If that's going to be done, that's going to be an actual recession. So we know the economy is retracting. We know the currency is telling us that's not doing too well. So I want to see why S&P 500 stays at these elevated new high levels day after day after day.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we know what happens. We know how this story ends, but when it starts to end, that's the key, and you've got to be ready for it, Skulk. Just going back to the Jerome Powell, he's heading back to Capitol Hill tonight. He's got a second day of testimony before Congress. Trump said on social media yesterday, he must have had his bucket of nuggets and then just got a bit of a rush of artificial, not intelligence, of course, artificial flavorings from those nuggets. And he said, he called him very dumb. He said, we should be at least 2 to 3 points lower. What he said was today, when he was asked a question about Jerome Powell in The Hague, he said, just cut rates. And if inflation goes up, then raise them again. It's destabilizing, Donald. You can't keep on doing that, mate. It's got to be a long term. It's got to be a long term decision. And Powell said, "I'm waiting to see the effect of the tariffs. We haven't seen them yet." And as you quite correctly point out, July the 9th means more tariffs if nothing is done, and therefore there will be effects 3 months henceforward.
Correct. Yeah. Anyway. It's going to be fun. I think this is what he was in, was sworn in as president on the 21st of January, if I'm not mistaken. Here we're sitting literally 5 months later on the 25th of June, and it's a 4-year term. So buckle up, baby. Oh, gosh,
yeah. It's going to be a wild ride.
It's going to be one.
McDonald's and Krispy Kreme have ended. You can't buy Krispy Kreme donuts anymore from McDonald's. That shows you how much news there is coming out of the States at the moment, now that Iran and Israel are no longer in the headlines. Skulk, the JSE today, I saw First Rand Camp come out with a trading update. That's nothing. But the other thing I've noticed, of course, is Sasol's demise. I mean, it's still up beautifully on the year from its low. Oh, no, sorry, from its lows, not on the year. But it was close to 100, and it's now in the low 80s. Volatile stock.
I want to say, and this just to prove the point that I'm not really a short-term trader. I'll let you in another secret. So I was on a media outlet last week. I think it was Monday, and I need to sort of give a stock pick, and I all braved up, went like, it's time, let's go, it's time to actually call Sasol a buy. Now, naturally, last week was followed by great moves. And on Friday, when I was trading 102 or 103 Rand, I was high-fiving myself every 3 minutes. Man, this guy know how to pick stocks. So Monday, I need to go on the same outlet again. And I thought, how do you say double up to catch up?
Yeah.
This week, I decided to call Total. I buy. 24 hour later, you've got the ceasefire. And yesterday, Sasol dropped something like 15%. Total was 12%. Yeah, exactly. Another 2%. So I think model the story. Mike, I've often said it, my crystal ball is the murkiest of murk at the best of days. But I think Sasol today closed 79.37, as I mentioned, another 2% down.
Did it. Okay.
But, I mean, as mentioned, I mean, before this, let's call it the whole Israel-Iran escalated, Sasol already started to improve on the fact that they had this payment from Transnet. They settled there. That's going to reduce their debt. There's some plans with the whole Lake Charles, Lake Charles, then the US. So that's looking good. So everything started to look good, and the share price really starting to move. And currently, as we're sitting here, we're looking at a Sasol share price, which is now trading lower before the whole Iran-Israel escalation. So if you liked it back then...
Like it more now, yeah.
I definitely like it more now. So... Mm-hmm. At $80, I do think it's trading at what do you call it, a three times forward PE multiple. It should be increasing its dividends. So I'm a long term holder. Let's just make it 100% clear.
Yes.
If this thing drops down to $50, I would much probably buy some more. I'm not betting the farm. My current holding is something like 2 or 3.
I won't be so rude as to ask you what your average is at the moment with Sasol in your portfolio.
No, it's about 2-3%. So it's not a big bet, but it's definitely a company that I think what last week has taught us. With the likes of the Sasol, the ExxonMobils, the Totals, the BPs. What that has taught us is that it's a fantastic hedge against a further escalation, geopolitical escalation. So maybe just something to have a look at.
Okay. Sasol is, we will keep a close eye on that in coming weeks. Okay, let's have a look at some of the pertinent prices. The dollar rand is 17.79. The euro rand is... 20.68, and the British pound against the rand is 24.23. Euro dollar 116.25. When a currency goes on a move, it doesn't stop. This could be 2 years in the making. This dollar bear market, it will just go. Difficult to stop it. It's in a trend. 116.25. People were talking about par with the euro not that long ago. British pound 136.20. Look at that. That was below 120 at one stage, about in the last year anyway. Commodities, gold price having a breather, down $47 on my screen to 33.24. The platinum price 13.11, which is up around about $5. Palladium down $12, or 1.1%. Right, the all-important crude oil that we've been talking about. I just looked at a graph this morning. In early May, it was $60 a barrel. That's Brent crude. Went close to $80 a barrel recently. That's a big move. That's what's a third. It went up a third in a matter of in less than 2 months. Went and then came crashing down as soon as the ceasefire became apparent. Current price, $67.85, which on the day is actually up just over 1%. Natural gas prices are flat. Bitcoin, it was below 100, 2 days ago. It's now $107 and $173. Another reason why Trump is so, so happy. He loves his crypto, and we know why. The South African 10-year bond yield, very, very good news for the country, 9.92%. And the US 10-year, I think it's about a seven-week low. Was around about 427, 428? Now 4.31% ahead of Powell giving his speech. And, yeah, S&P 500 futures, they're flat, 6,146 for the September futures. So that's that. What shares caught your eye today on the JSE up and down, please, Skulk?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go sector-specific because it's sort of an inverse. It was an inverse of what we've seen yesterday. Yesterday, we had this massive, massive retracement. And I was close to a 3% rise in financial stocks because we had this massive movement in the Rand. Rand improved as well as dollar weakness, so that was good for financials. And the flip side was our resources got hammered with some of these commodity prices retracing. Today, I don't want to say it was the inverse because, the resource index only recovered, let's call 5 basis points. So that's not really a recovery. But the financial index, they took a beating today, close to 1.5% down today with the likes of some of these banks. Standard Bank down 3%. First Rand, that was positive after the trading update. Absa was down 2.2%. So I thought it was an interesting day for the bank, sort of an inverse of what we've seen yesterday. And then the PGMs. PGMs was still, fairly strong this morning. As you mentioned, price is still trading higher now, but you can see last few hours there was a bit of a retracement. The likes of the Valterras down 3.1%, Impala Platinum down 1.5%. So, as mentioned, just a funny day all around. Big movements. And definitely moving in inverse directions.
Yeah, Valterra, as you say, down over 3%. And that was after a Mining Max article where the CEO said he thought the prospects for the platinum price and other platinum group metals was pretty good. I wasn't listening. I was listening, but I was doing something else, which will become apparent in a moment. I hang on your every word, Scott, believe me.
I can repeat it. You have 10 minutes.
Ned called down 6.5. What is that? An ex-div story? Why is Ned called down 6.5?
Actually came out with results. Nedbank was the only company that actually... It's sort of always interesting because I looked at the results this morning and I was like, well, did it look too bad? Mm-hmm. But it's always interesting when a company bring out results just as the market closed. You need to go and look and seriously.
Oh, you mean it was last night? Okay.
Yeah, between the lines. But again, I don't think it's expensive. It didn't look too bad, but Mr. Market thought otherwise. They didn't like it. They didn't like the results at all.
Okay. On the upside, we've got Dis-Chem up 2.1%, and the founder and CEO of Dis-Chem, he just thought, why not give my two sons a nice little mid-year present? $6.8 billion, 25% stake in the company, which is, I don't know what the reason for that is, whether it's for tax reasons or whether he wants them to take over his position, joint CEOs or something. I don't know.
They're not involved.
He's
got three sons. So the one son, Sol, he's already involved. So he's got... his shares and is on the board.
Yeah.
But these two sons, they're not on the board yet. And actually now they will need to be looked at because I think I think it's like something at 25%. Yeah, close to 25% shareholding that's now been split up between these two brothers. So that's a chunky. I need to go and speak to my dad. I need to get a new
suit. Yeah, for goodness sake, it's about time. Come on now.
Definitely.
To do these stupid podcasts every week. Come on.
Lindsay, I love you. Come on, man. What would we do on a Wednesday, you know, 5 o'clock show?
Do you want me to give you a list?
Having a chat.
Telcom was up 2%. Advertech up 2%. Lighthouse Capital up 1.5%. So nothing apart from Dis-Chem to me of any interest. Okay, Skunk. So what are we expecting? This the market to take a breather? A shock to come from the Middle East? A shock to come from the tariffs? What are we going to be talking about next week, do you suppose?
It could be all of the above. Mm. It could be a whole new, you know, what we probably say in Afrikaans, splinter nuwe moeilikheid, which is translate to brand new trouble. Brand new trouble.
Well, so, I hope not. It's always fun as a broadcaster to talk about bad news, but I really hope not.
We don't need to talk about good news.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well done, Scott. Find yourself something to do. I noticed that the nights are getting longer, the days are getting longer in the Southern Hemisphere, the opposite over here. So go and spend that extra couple of minutes and do something productive. Skunklow is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organisation, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.